Great way to start a new season of choir. We're so grateful to have them back, and also to make the invitation, any of you are welcome. No auditions. Isn't that cool? You can be a part of the choir. They meet 6:30 on Wednesday nights. It's also a great fellowship. You get to know some other people. They pray together, and you are very welcome to be a part of that. Whether Excelsior Covenant is your home or you're a guest here this morning, I hope through this morning you feel a good sense of what it means to be family and how that is important to us, to be a church family. Whether you are married or single, divorced, widowed, young or old, whatever, you are welcome because this is God's family. It's God's family, and whether that means if you're checking out churches and you end up being a part of this church or another church that also has a true heart for Jesus, He has a place for each and every one of us to belong. And that's really good news. Now, as we're starting this fall season together, we are at week two of a sermon series looking at how we purposefully join God in His desire to renew people's lives and faith. At the same time, as we're discovering that I'm not used to having my clicker in my hand, and I need this. This is my important tool. At the same time as we're discovering in this series, I think, new ways that we can do the most loving thing that we could ever do in this life, and that is to help people connect with Jesus. That's the most important thing that we could do in this life. And that is grounded in our mission statement as a church of what we've now paraphrased to make more accessible and practical. And in this series of sermons, we're going to make a first pass. We're going to do it again, but we're going to make a first pass at how we can join God in His mission of connecting people to Jesus and to one another, and how that plays out in four specific areas. And those are Spirit-filled worship, relevant study, sharing hope, and compassionate service. That is the mission we believe God has given us. In some respects, it's nothing new. This has been the mission of the church from day one. But we want to put it into practice, and that's why we've added to this mission statement a vision statement that is specific and personal. It starts out by looking to God, because whatever we do, it has to be rooted in who God is and His hopes for us. But also recognizing He wants us to participate in bringing renewal to the world around us. And so this vision statement is simply this: to seek God's renewal in our 5x5. And if you're here for the first time or weren't here last Sunday, that's where this came from: God's renewal in our 5x5. Very simply, and this is a review from last Sunday, 5x5 refers to 5 people and 5 miles, which is a lot easier to grasp than just some vague idea of God wanting us to reach out to everybody and everywhere, right? So we're going to get a little more specific here. However, it is personal. In the days and the months to come, we're encouraging one another to ask the Holy Spirit to show you 5 people in your relational circle. It could be family, it could be friends, coworkers, school friends, or strangers. But 5 people that you will pray for, committing to pray for, and actively seeking to share the love of Jesus with them through your life, so that they might experience renewal from God in their life. And then the 5-mile thing here, that helps set the vision for the scope of what we're how a worshiping, serving, and evangelizing church here in this community, in terms of what we can do together. Again, asking the Holy Spirit to show us corporately how to identify what He wants us to do, how we can serve and share in this community within a 5-mile radius of our church where we are right now. Now, of course, a lot of us don't live like within that, you know, circle, and that's fine because we're absolutely not limited to 5 people or 5 miles. But it gives us at least something to grab onto. It helps us, and hopefully will get us on track together. And today we're going to start by thinking about the first of those four missional areas of connecting people to God through Spirit-filled worship. If you want to open your Bible or your app to Romans 12, and we'll get there in a minute. Romans 12, New Testament, about halfway through that section of the Bible. First, I've got to say, though, as great as it was to be in the Activity Center last Sunday for our big Homecoming Sunday, I like being back in this space for a number of reasons. Of course, I love it when our whole church family is together at one time in one space. But there's also something really good about being here in the sanctuary. It's a really good space, even though it means we're at two services again. But that allows us to actually get more people together overall, and that's a good thing. But you know, when you think about that, it really doesn't matter where we are when we worship, because God can't be contained to any one room anyway, right? He's far bigger than that. Besides, if the where of worshiping ever gets to be too important, we run the risk, a dangerous risk, of being addicted to the idolatry of space. And that's not what God wants. And I love good church architecture. I love it when a building is well designed and a sanctuary is well put together. But worship should never really focus on where, but on whom we worship. Who are we worshiping? And how are we actually doing that together? And as we focus our attention on God in this and not on space, He uses these gatherings to form our identity as His beloved children. He uses these gatherings to form our identity, both personally and corporately. And so as we're standing and sitting here shoulder to shoulder, we sing, we pray, we're taught, we're encouraged from God's Word. And if we're willing to be open to Him, He earnestly desires that we participate in the action of worship. The Holy Spirit will use these experiences to grow and shape our lives and our faith. And that is part of how God renews us. It's beautiful. But there's another angle here that we cannot miss. And that is worship. Oh yeah, there's Romans 12. Worship is not a casual spectator sport. Can you hold on to that one? Worship, Spirit-filled worship or any worship, is not a spectator, casual spectator sport. If you think about it, now think about, is there a Vikings game today? Okay, I saw eyebrows go, yeah. If you go to a big sporting event, what, they scan your ticket, you grab something to eat, you find your seat, you're full of anticipation, you're glad to be there, and when the game starts getting good, your natural reaction probably is to jump out of your seat, skull, and participate. To cheer and scream your pleasure, right? Oh, come on, let me get a little agreement on that, right? Yeah, okay, I haven't heard that in church in a while. Vikings fans are generally not casual spectators. So why should worship be anything less? One of our ministry leaders sent me a text after worship a few weeks ago with a little meme that went like this: two chimps sitting around on a Sunday afternoon, and the first chimp says to the other one, "You should get as excited about church as you do a football game." The other one says, "Did that once, they asked me to leave." Well, really? Why? After the sermon, I dumped a Gatorade cooler on the preacher. And then the following Sunday, that leader handed me a bottle of Gatorade before I preached. Because you see, she gets it. She understands. Spirit-filled worship is not a casual spectator sport or activity. Because when we think about the fact, when we think about the fact that the most important reality of our lives is what we are worshiping about. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's incredible news. How is it then that sometimes we can sit in worship, and let's be honest here, we can sit in worship waiting to be entertained, more concerned about whether or not we're going to like what's going on rather than on whether or not we are bringing anything to the experience. Worship has to be participatory. And if we're not actively engaged in the worship experience in some way, it's not worship. It's just not worship. And here's what I want you to see in Romans 12, verse 1, where the Apostle Paul nails this when he tells the church, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." And worship doesn't get any more all in than that. Are we all in to the experience of worship? True and proper worship means offering our bodies as living sacrifices. In other words, okay, my microphone's doing funny things again. You know, we actually have new microphones that we've got, but they're not hooked up yet because the FCC stole our frequencies. Did you know that? Well, yeah, they did. New microphones are coming, and we won't have this crackling. You know what? Can we just go to this mic? Let's just do it. I'm just going to have to stand still, which is going to be really hard for me. Okay. Offering our bodies as living sacrifices to God. In other words, every activity, every ritual, every piece of what we do in worship together, like we're doing right now, being all in, or like we might unashamedly sing "How Great Thou Art" at the top of our lungs when we're on a solo hike in the woods, which, as I've secretly been known to do until now, you now know. As people who Jesus has redeemed from sin and self-focus, our whole life should be participatory in worshiping God here and out there. Nicky Gumbel, the lead guy in the Alpha Course, talks about what the early church learned about worship. He said this. He said, "What is clear is that people, both men and women, did not come just as consumers, but as contributors to worship. The question we should ask is not, what am I getting out of church? But what am I giving out at church?" They did not come just to receive, but also to help others. And then he quotes the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, here from the Message translation, where it says, "When you gather to worship, each of you be prepared with something that will be useful for all." That's what the Apostle Paul said. When you gather to worship, each of you be prepared with something that will be useful for all. And then Nicky goes on and he says, if we all come to church with this attitude of being a contributor, it will totally transform our services of worship. Contributors. Back to the missional statement. If we truly want to help connect people to Jesus, and if we're serious about seeking God's renewal, worship is going to be one place at least where we are totally all in. Contributors who offer our whole being as living sacrifices. And that can stretch us. And you know what? It should. This shouldn't just be a comfortable sit-in. This should be something active. And this is back to where the idea of spirit-filled worship comes in. And spirit-filled worship is a two-sided deal. Because first of all, the Lord promises in Matthew 18, verse 20, that when two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, his Holy Spirit is totally present to us. So God's Spirit is present to us right now. And when we're all in, then our spirits are also completely present in worship. And another way to say that might be that spirit-filled worship happens when we offer ourselves totally present to God, and He meets us there. That's worship. We give ourselves, and He meets us in that place. This is incredibly important, and it has everything to do with our identity as beloved children of God. A couple weeks ago, I quoted from a book by Klein Snodgrass, my old seminary professor, on Christian identity, who God says you are. And Klein talks about worship in there, and if you're into deeply thoughtful books, I highly recommend this one. Amazon ran out, but they will have them back in stock on September 27th, just so you know. Klein said this. He said, obviously, among our most important actions, especially in tough times, are acts of worship. And often, worship is an act of protest against the valuations that society places on us and suggests for us. The church is the place people go to take their identity. The church is the place where people go to take their identity and declare their allegiances. Worship is crucial to all aspects of identity because in worship, we remind ourselves of who God is and who we are. And then he says, our lives are literally at stake, so worship carefully. Have you ever thought about worship in that extreme? That our lives are at stake here in worship? And so we should do it carefully? And I would say thoughtfully and fully, all in? I think Jesus saw it that way. In John 4, Gospel of John, 4th chapter, when he was talking with the Samaritan woman by the well, they got to talking about what real worship was all about. And she was really interested. She was really into the conversation, but she was kind of hung up on the place aspect of where she thought worship was supposed to happen. But Jesus tells her this. He says, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. Back to the idea of what it means for worship to be Spirit-filled, and helps us understand that real worship involves something far more than rituals and customs, far more than place or style, or being defined by, in our own minds and hearts, by what we like or don't like. Oh, that's not worship. Oh, that's worship. Real worship is in the Spirit. Notice it's a capital S, means it's a pronoun, means he's talking about the Holy Spirit, acknowledging that God wants to meet us wherever we, whenever we turn our focus in His direction. He wants to meet us even when we're not paying attention. But whether or not that's out in the world or right here in the corporate gathering of His people. And according to Jesus, real worship must also be done in the Spirit and in truth. And in truth. A couple aspects there. It has to be done with honesty and integrity, not ignoring our brains, but totally engaging our brains, contributors in every way, all in. And to worship in truth also means to honestly seek God's truth. Not the way the world interprets and understands truth, but to totally lean on the Holy Spirit for understanding. And along that way, we start to realize that we really are created, wired by God to praise Him. That worship is an innate human experience. We're made for this. So how do we come into our own? How do we come into our own in regards to worship? What has to happen for us? And some of us have been around the church for like a long time. What does it mean for all of us to come into our own in regards to worship? What happens for us to be fully grown into who we were created to be as people who worship? Maybe it's a switch in the head, a little click that'll help change the direction of your heart during worship, focusing on God and not so much on how you're feeling or what you like. Maybe it'll be the way you use your voice. I long for us to lift the rafters on this place. I would love to see these things just kind of fly open when we sing, because we're all in. Or maybe it means that you'll start paying more attention to corporate prayer like never before. When somebody up here is praying and you're not thinking about something else, but you're actually thinking about what they're saying and making that your own prayer. Or it may be, and this is just an example, but it could also be the surgical detachment of your hands from your sides. Apologies to some of my friends here, but I'm Swedish. And I sometimes have a hard time moving my hands from my side in worship. You know, some people cannot truly express themselves in spirit and in truth unless they feel free to use their hands and their arms when they sing or pray. And there's nothing wrong with that. Even in a church where maybe more people don't feel that need, that's okay. Lifting hands in worship is not required. Lifting hands in prayer is not required. But for some, that simple action will unlock something in their spirits that needs to break out in order to really participate. The beautiful thing about spirit-filled worship is that it represents an opening up of something within our lives, something more expansive and beautiful. As we grasp the true reality of what it means to praise God, to completely delight in Him. I love how C.S. Lewis puts things. One of my favorite writers. And in his Reflections on the Psalms, he says it like this. He says, "The most obvious fact about praise strangely escaped me. I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. The world rings with praise. Walkers, might say runners too, praising the countryside. Players praising their favorite game. Praise of weather, wines, dishes, actors, horses, colleges, countries, historical personages, children, flowers, mountains, rare stamps, rare books, even sometimes politicians and scholars." I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. It's not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete till it is expressed. I love that last line because it really helps describe worship. Delight is incomplete till it's expressed. In other words, worship is the ultimate expression. It should be the ultimate expression of our joy, our appreciation for what Jesus has done, giving us life and giving us salvation. Our joy and our delight is not complete until we express it in worship. And we were created for this. So let's worship. Would you pray with me? Gracious, loving God, You are totally worthy of our praise, of our appreciation, our joy, and our delight. And I pray for us individually and as a body, as a church family, that we might live into this truth, this reality. For some of us, we're maybe particularly shy or we're reticent to express ourselves, even to sing even a tad louder because we're afraid of what others might think around us. But God, help to release us to worship as You created us to worship. God, help us to understand that to worship in spirit and truth is what You're hoping for. And I pray that even as we continue in this hour, You might hear something new from our hearts
whether it's coming out of our lips or just ruminating and enjoying your love deep in our hearts. You are worthy. And we thank you for the gift of our life and salvation in our Savior Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.